Who the sun sets free.
Who the sun sets free.
Whosoever the sun sets free.
Is free indeed.
Is free indeed.
Is free indeed.
Six. From the word, a lot of us have images being plastered in our minds. Meaning I said the word sex, and it might be images that porn might have fed you, images that movies might have fed you, images that songs might have fed you. But what is God's idea of sex? When I got saved, I looked at everything. I took every construct, every understanding, everything created, thought process that I had, and I placed it in the light of who God is, understanding this salient fact that whatever God creates, He puts Himself in it. He puts an attribute of Himself in it. So yes, I held up sex to that same standard. Okay, what is sex? Understanding also that whatever the devil creates, it's a very cheap, opposite, negative imitation of what God created. So I said, okay, what's my understanding about sex? For me, sex was all about me. That's why I was addicted to masturbation, trying to pleasure myself. It was a very selfish thing. It was a very perverse thing, right? All about me, me, me. So holding it against who God is, understanding what God did, and the most powerful example of an attribute of God was on the cross, where He died for us and gave His life for us when He did not need to, when we did not deserve it. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So there's nobody on this earth that was deserving of it, and He gave Himself selflessly. So understanding who God is, a very selfless, giving, thoughtful being, it negated what I saw sex as. So I realized everything I knew about sex was wrong, and I threw it out the window. And the way I threw it out the window was by stopping myself from listening to certain songs or watching movies entirely for a time period so that I could unlearn sex. And I gave up on totally, actually, yes. And every source I knew I would get sex from, the worst type of sex, I gave it up, because it's very lustful, very damaging, very selfish, and very self-centered, right? And I decided to learn sex God's way. But I really couldn't until I got married. And when I got married and I started seeing sex that God desires, it just changed everything for me. So first I want to read Galatians 5:22-23. And it says, but the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions, joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life of virtue, faith that prevails, a gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. So first and foremost, we're going to take different parts of this verse and break it down. So when it says, but the fruit here is karpas in Greek, and it means that which originates or comes from something, an effect, a resulting factor, a reaped harvest. So it's saying the resulting factor of the Spirit of God living in you is this. Do you understand? So the fact that the Spirit of God lives inside you produces these things. And I'm hammering on this because I'm going somewhere. And this version, I love this version because it uses active verbs, right? Saying divine love, you know, its various expressions, joy that overflows, peace that subsides, right? This translation has chosen to supply actions to these virtues, for they are not meant to be abstract virtues, but made visible with actions. That's what the Greek translation intended it to be. You understand? They are abstract virtues that are made visible with actions. Right now, to my main point, strength of spirit, which is in Greek is ekratia, I hope I pronounced that right. A crater. And usually in other versions, the word self-control is there, but in the Greek translation, self is not found in the word. It's, however, most translations render this as self-control, but that's not true. The word is actually spirit strength, right? It has self-control in it, and I'll agree, yes. But the word is actually spirit strength. That is the virtue of one who masters his desires and passions, especially his sensual appetites. Right? So as men who are going to be husbands to our wives, and we have been admonished by the Bible to satisfy our wife's sexual needs, to be able to do that, you have to have egratia, which is strength of spirit, which is the virtue to be able to master your desires and passions, especially your sensual appetites. Because as men, physically, the way God created us during sex is for us to just we spike quickly. That's we climax quickly. But for a woman, it takes a lot for them to climax. So in a graph, I don't know if you can imagine a graph, the shortest and quickest spike you will see, that's a guy. But for a woman, the longest climb to a spike, which takes a long time, and then that time to climax, and then they can come down. It takes a long time. So usually what happens with the worst type of sex is that they've made it to seem like women want men's kind of sex, because in movies, a man and a woman will just meet, the man is aroused, the woman is aroused also, and they'll just kiss, enter the room, enter the house, break the TV, be kissing, and the woman will be ready, the man will be ready, they will not have sex, and then the same amount of time takes the man to climax, the same amount of time takes the woman to climax, and they just climax and they are satisfied. But it's not true. For a woman, it takes a lot more, but for men, yeah, we're physically stimulated creatures, right? And it's very quick for us to get to where we need to get. But because men who have been Hollywood executives for the longest time, and major people who started porn also, porn directing, you want women to feel like to not require or request the type of sex that they desire, right? So they painted it in such a way that, okay, even women, they climax as quick as men climax, which is not true, because it's just a selfish thing. So men can get in and get what they want and go. They don't have to think about anything else. And that kind of sex, you can have it from anybody else. Anybody that is wearing a skirt, you can get that kind of sex. Do you understand? But the kind of sex God created for us is one in which is very, very selfless. The kind of sex God created to happen, which is only supposed to happen in the confines and the context, not confines, sorry, in the context of marriage, is one that is very selfless. You're giving yourself. You're going in to give, not to take, right? And that type of sex, you actually imprint on your wife so much so that you cannot get that kind of sex anywhere else. Anyway, like you realize you've imprinted so much on your wife that if anybody offers that kind of sex to you outside, you'll be like, offers sex to you outside, which they can only offer the worst kind of sex to you, you'll be like, no, I have something better. And I think I have the authority to speak on this, because I was actually addicted to sex in the world when I was not saved. And now that I got saved and I'm having sex in marriage, I can categorically tell you, and in an honest manner, tell you the truth. Sex in the world is rubbish. Like, it's so much rubbish. But sex God's way, oh man, it's really, 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 really amazing. Really, really, really amazing. Right? This type of sex is very intentional and selfless. And it actually helps mitigate fleshly desires to be unfaithful, which is, it helps put a stop to. It helps stop. It's not the only thing that helps stop, but it's one of the major mechanisms that God has put to help stop unfaithfulness, right? And meaningless sex can be replicated by anyone. You can get it anywhere if you still have the world's mindset of sex. So I'll give an example. Recently, in my marriage, I spoke to my wife and I was not like, okay, because there's sometimes where she's tired, right? And I want us to have sex. And because First Corinthians 7 says, husbands and wives have reciprocal duties. Each husband has the responsibility of meeting his wife's sexual desires, and each wife should do the same for her husband. So we have, by scripture, we are under responsibility to make sure our spouse's sexual needs are met, right? But then she's tired, but then I want to have sex. So what she does, like, okay, babe, let's just take care of you. Let's make sure you're okay. And then I'll, but for her, because it takes a long time, it takes a lot of things. It takes a lot of foreplay. It takes a lot of, even during the day, communication, connecting with her emotionally, do you understand? Being there for her, talking with her, just being included in her world and including her in my world for that day to get her ready for sex. And even during the act, it takes a lot of foreplay, a lot of kissing and all of that to get her where she needs to be. And it takes a lot of time for her to get there. So because she doesn't want to go through that, and she's tired, and she's not going to be there, for a woman to reach where she needs to reach, she's going to have to be physically, emotionally, and mentally present. All this has to happen. But it's not the same for a man. For a guy, we can compartmentalize things. We're ready anytime. You understand? But for a woman, they have to be there. And for her mind to be there, she needs to be in it and not tired. If she's tired, her mind is going to roam and go places that are not there. She's not going to be in it. So she's just, okay, let's just make sure you're satisfied. And whenever we do that, I always feel, have this memory of what sex like in the world was, where I'm just going in it for myself. So I told her, I was like, babe, if you're tired and we're trying to have sex and you know you're tired, don't do it just for me. Let's just tell me and we'll stop. And that in itself made us start having very amazing sex, because I was not about myself anymore. I was about us. And when I was about us, because I was about us, it changed a lot of things. It changed the fact that all I wanted to do was to get mine, right? It made it now that whenever we're going into sex, I was going into it just for her. Now it's a different thing, because I was not just trying to make her get ready so I can now satisfy myself. I was really, really into making sure that she was sexually satisfied, just for her being sexually satisfied. And then she was also into it for me to be sexually satisfied, just for being sexually satisfied. So in that way, we're both fulfilling the scripture, which is each husband and each wife has a responsibility to meet each other's sexual desires, right? Of that verse, the Aramaic and a few old Greek manuscripts can be translated, the husband should pay back the love he owes to his wife, and the wife to her husband. So this way, this type of sex is very intentional and selfless, where you're invested in just her. Do you understand? Where you are giving everything, you are not thinking about yourself. You put yourself at the back. And for that to happen, for you to put the fact that you want to be sexually satisfied quickly, because that's what a guy wants to do. He just wants to be sexually satisfied there and then. It takes a gratia, that's self-control, that's spirit strength. Like I said, the virtue of one who masters his desires and special and passions, especially the sensual appetites, to put that sensual appetite of wanting to climax at the back and then focusing on your wife. This is so important, because I realized that there are a lot of women who are not sexually satisfied in their homes, and this is a problem. And as men who are going to be fashioned after the heart of God and want to be husbands, the husbands God desires us to be, we have to be very, very sensitive to this, right? If we become men who are sensitive to this, a lot of the meaningless sex that is propagated by the world will reduce. Because men who are married cheat a lot, right? And if you can cut down that, the demand will cut down and the supply will cut down. So there will be less prostitutes on the streets. See, there are a lot of prostitutes on the streets because of the demand that there is for prostitutes. Because the kind of sex that the world has, You can get it from anybody. That's why there's a demand for prostitutes. You can get it from anybody, not just your wife. But the kind of sex that God desires us to have, you can't. Is it, how do you want to start being emotionally connected all over again to somebody? How do you want to start denying yourself and thinking, how much? It's going to take a lot to that. And to do that, it's only your wife that you can be comfortable enough to do that, because the context that has been created for it, you're already in it, which is marriage. That's the only context that it can thrive, that kind of sex can thrive, right? This way, we'll be fulfilling the command in Genesis 2, which says, Genesis 2:24, it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Now, cleave means davak in Hebrew, which is to cling, stick, stay close, cleave, keep close, stick to, stick with, follow closely, join to. That is the kind of sex God desires for us to have, where we become one with our wives. And the only sex we're thinking about, whenever we're thinking about sex, is with our wives, because that's the only experience we want. That's the only experience that satisfies us. It's a very amazing thing. It's better to give than to receive in this context also, right? I'll give you an example of a shoemaker. Like, I don't know any of you who, when you were hustling before, you got 30 billion in your account and you were wealthy. Whenever you had a shoe problem and your shoe was spoiled, maybe the sole came out, maybe in secondary school or something, and you give a shoemaker to fix, what the shoemaker has to do first is to sandpaper both sides so that the impurities are gone, right? And then put glue so that when he glues the two, it can glue perfectly and strong. The glue can hold it together strongly. Now, this glue in marriage is this sex. And for you to have this kind of sex, you need to sandpaper all the rubbish you've learned about sex in the world, about the world type of sex, what the selfish type of sex you've been taught, either from porn, either from movies, either from music, either from novels. You have to sandpaper it and forget about it, so that when you're coming together with your wife, you are glued together and you are glued with this sex, which enables you to cling to, right, and to cleave onto your wife. This is God's plan to help mitigate the natural human tendency to embrace immorality in adultery and fornication. This sex that God created, it's a beautiful thing. Trust me, I can say this boldly because I've been on both sides. And the problem with a lot of men is they enter into marriage with this same mindset of the way the world give sex, and you can get that from anybody. Honestly, you can get that from anybody. So they don't feel like they are missing out on anything when they sleep with other people. It's the same type of sex they can get from their wife. In fact, the fact that you're doing something wrong can give this kind of excitement, illusion of excitement, that makes you think sex outside is better, but it's actually not. So to be able to enjoy sex properly, you have to be selfless. You have to portray ekratia, spirit strength, and master your desires and passions and sensual appetites and put it at the back and put your wife in the forefront. Thank you.